Good morning. Glad you're all here this morning. I have been waiting for this sermon for a couple of weeks, a couple of months. When I first knew that I was going to do this series, I said, I have to go back and do the first sermon that I ever gave in my entire life. Today is the day. First sermon that I ever gave. The title of this sermon is not that. The title of the sermon is, I Want to Believe. Now, the title of the sermon is based on this poster. Who knows what TV show this poster comes from? I gave this sermon 2007, January 7th, 2007. At the time, I was binging my way through the entire X-Files series. Everything I could think of, extraterrestrials, paranormal events, everything was all wrapped around the X-Files. When it came time for the first sermon, what do I talk about? Well, of course, I have to incorporate X-Files into my sermon. I loved X-Files so much. This poster, I bought myself a copy of this and I put it up in my church office on one of the walls. And everyone would walk in. I don't understand the connection here between you as a pastor and aliens. And it's like, I don't know, it just really inspires me. So I had this poster up there for many years, and I think eventually my wife was like, you can't have that poster anymore. You've outgrown that. So I don't have that poster anymore. But I'm thinking about buying it again because there's something about when you, the first time that you get to practice your craft and the first time that you do something that you're like, oh my gosh, I can see myself doing this for the rest of my life. There's something about that memory. And so that's why this sermon is really important for me. But that image, that poster is really important. Maybe I will have to buy myself another copy of it and put it back up on my office wall so I can always remember January 7th, 2007, I Want to Believe. I mentioned during this series that I'm going to be giving some commentary on these sermons. I want to give you a little commentary. Here's the backstory of the first sermon. I was working as a youth pastor, and the senior pastor said, hey, Dave, it's your turn to get up there and give a sermon to the entire congregation. No more just with the youth. We want you to deliver a glorious sermon to everyone in the church, all the adults as well, which at this point I was early 20s, had never given a sermon before. I hadn't gone to seminary, hadn't taken any preaching classes. Obviously, I had sat in on a lot of sermons, but the question that this raised for me was, well, how do I put a sermon together? I knew people got up and spoke for 30 minutes, and I said, there's no way I can stand up there and speak for 30 minutes. Obviously, I know you guys know I'm past that now, and now it's hard for me to contain myself to 30 minutes. But at the time, 30 minutes, how am I going to possibly fill all that space? I went to work. I sat down on my computer, I wrote this sermon out, and then because it was the first sermon that I was ever going to give, the senior pastor said, here's what we're going to do. You're giving the sermon on Sunday. We want you to do a full dress rehearsal Friday afternoon just so we can give you any feedback and help you a little bit and to make sure that you actually have the work finished and that you're not going to just get up there and wing it. Youth pastors are notorious for doing this. I sat there, I wrote the sermon, I actually printed it out to look at it for today's sermon. 5 pages of typed, it was a manuscript. I got up there, it was on a raised stage, a raised platform. I stood there, had the podium right here, I put all my notes, my manuscript right there. There were 3 pastors sitting out in this dress rehearsal. I was so nervous. It's actually, here's what's really interesting. It's actually harder to speak to 3 people than it is to like 50 or 60. It was me, my notes, and this was a really, really, as you'll see, a really personal sermon. I had never done this before. What were these 3 people who were there simply to critique me? What were they going to say? As I am delivering this sermon to them, I totally bombed. It was the worst thing ever. ever. I was up there and I knew in my head, this is not going well. They are not going to let me give this sermon on Sunday. But I read through the entire thing. I finished it. They didn't really offer me too much feedback besides, okay, you're good. Go for it on Sunday. But I remember walking away thinking, huh, that really wasn't very inspiring. I thought I picked an inspiring topic. I'm opening my life up. And yet, here I am standing here reading what I wrote, and it's really not very good. But I put that out of mind because I was really excited about it. I had invited high school friends, some friends that I had met since I had moved back from college. There were going to be a lot of people there in the audience. So I was excited about that, and I figured, well, everything is just going to work its way out. I don't know how, but I didn't think about the sermon again from Friday afternoon until Sunday morning. Sunday rolls around, and I am nervous as anything. Probably sweat through about two shirts before I got up there to give this sermon. Standing there in the service, worship is going on. I'm feeling all right. I start seeing some friends walk in, some familiar faces. I think to myself, okay, you better not blow this, Dave. You better not. And at the time, a lot of the friends, a lot of people I were hanging out with, they didn't go to church. So I was thinking, well, they're going to have a really bad taste in their mouth about church if I totally bomb this sermon. Worship ends. There's that greeting time, kind of like how we do it here. And I walk up there. I stand up in front of the podium. I put my notes there. And I start giving this sermon, I Want to Believe. Now, here's what's really interesting. Almost nothing that I wrote in my manuscript is what I said in my sermon. There was this super, you're saying, oh no, but no, it was actually a really good thing. I took the bones of it, but then it was almost as if something shifted. Something happened when I stood up there where, I don't know, if like maybe it was an X-Files paranormal event. Maybe I had some extra channeling, some extraterrestrial energy or something. And I just ripped into this thing. When I listened to it this past week, I thought to myself, that's actually a really good sermon. I impressed myself with this first sermon that I gave, listening to it, however, 16 or so years later. At that moment, I remember finishing up my sermon, walking down after having delivered it and thinking, I'm hooked. Sermons? Let's go. When's the next one? And that's actually why to this day I don't use manuscripts. A couple of times before I have used manuscripts and I feel really confined to a script and I can't just flow and move and talk about other things like all those rabbit trails that I go on that you're like, why is Dave talking about loggerhead turtles? Why is Dave talking about this? But that's kind of how it went for this first one. So it went from how do I put it together? What in the world are we going to get to when can I do this again? Now, this sermon, it was based on a verse in scripture that was really, really meaningful for me at the time. It still is a meaningful verse for me. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. The Apostle Paul speaking, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What I was trying to do through this sermon, and I think this is what I do through every sermon. I've come to realize this. Actually, this series has been really insightful for me, really eye-opening, because as I've been going back through old sermons, I'm realizing I'm just trying to work out the things that I've experienced. I just happen to be doing it publicly in front of all of you. That's essentially what a sermon is. It's I'm trying to make sense of what I have been through in life. And then I put it together, I craft it in a certain way, and then I invite you all to participate and to see how I am processing through my experiences in life. We all have our own ways of doing this. Mine just happens to be up here with the microphone in front of all you on Sunday mornings. And this verse was really important to me because, as some of you know, when I was in college, I lost my best friend to a car accident. And I went through, for 2 years, I went through hell. I was lonely, depressed. I doubted the existence, the goodness of God. My faith was rattled. I went through these 2 years where it just, I was at rock bottom for those 2 years. Some of you, you've been there before as well. You've had these experiences that have just rattled you. They've shaken you to the core. For me, in 2007, when I was in my early 20s, this was the most life-altering event that I had experienced. And you don't go through an experience like that without it reshaping your faith. You can't. Otherwise, you're not human. We all have these emotions. We all go through things in life that shape us. They shape our understanding of God, our understanding of who we are, what we're doing here, how we are relating with other people. They shape our understanding of who God is and our connection, our relationship with God. And so for me, when I gave this sermon, I had no idea at the time. When you're in your early 20s, I mean, you know, you're still just trying to make it through life. You want to still just impress other people. You're just in another stage in life. Now, looking back on it 15 years later, I'm realizing, oh, I was like doing like a counseling session for myself up there in this sermon. I was trying to make sense of it all. I was working out my own, as I wrote here, my own personal faith experience of suffering, loss, doubt, loneliness, questioning, pain. When I listened to this sermon from 15, 16 years ago, what I realized was that in the sermon were all these seeds of who I am today. And also, in the sermon, were the seeds of awaken. Because this experience had shaped me in such a deep, meaningful way. And then I then wanted to go and help others make sense of what they had experienced. Because I figured, well, I'm not the only one who has suffered loss. I'm not the only one who has doubted the goodness of God. I'm not the only one who has questioned who God is and what God desires for us. And so when I think about awaken, when I think about you being here this morning, and I started awaken 12 years ago, I listened to that sermon and I realized, oh my gosh, this was the beginning of awaken. What I experienced in college, that was the beginning of awaken. And I have a picture here, which, all right, maybe we'll get to. So Debbie, you might remember this. Debbie's one of the first ones. Steph, way back early on. Do you remember we had these awaken coasters that we made up? When I first started awaken, we were doing lots of different events where we were meeting in bars. We were renting out space in bars because I wanted awaken to be a place for people in their 20s like me who had no faith experience or who were willing to explore the concept of God, but they wouldn't do it within a normal church atmosphere. And I thought, oh, what's a great way to do it? But have a beer coaster made up about all the values of awaken. So we had Rachel. We put Rachel to work. She was our graphic designer in the beginning. And I said, here are the 10 values of awaken. You know what those values were? You know what some of those values were? Doubt. Question. Service. Community. Acceptance. Love. I think grace might have been one of those values. When I think about all those values, it's what I wanted. I started awaken for myself. Like, you thought it was for you. It was actually for me. Because I was still working out what I had been through in life. You don't go through an experience like that where you lose your best friend when you're 20 years old and you don't put that to the side for the rest of your life. I mean, that's something that I will endlessly be processing through and trying to make sense of that, because it's like when you go through something like that, there's no answers. No answer suffices. And that's the problem with church oftentimes, is that church likes to give these nice, neat, clean answers about, well, this, let me tell you why this, let me read you this Bible verse about why this happened. Look, if someone tries to give you a Bible verse as an answer for something, run the other way. Because honestly, that's really not helpful. Whenever people would offer me cliches or Bible verses, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I guess that's the nice Christian thing to do. But in reality, it's not what I need. You know what I needed? You know what I still need? I need community. I need other people. I need to be a part of a place where I'm free to explore and to rage and to question and to doubt, to bring everything that I'm feeling to the surface. I need a faith community that allows me to do that. So I delivered this sermon, I Want to Believe, because I wanted to believe at the time in a God who is good. Because I was struggling with that. I had a really hard time believing that. Mulder had this poster up on his wall because he had gone through this experience when he was younger where his sister was abducted. She was taken. Now, with everything, this is kind of the premise of the X-Files if you've never seen it before. And Mulder, with everything he had within him, he wanted to believe that she was safe, and he wanted to believe that she was taken by aliens. And so that drove his entire life, his entire mission, to prove to others the paranormal existed and aliens existed. He wanted to believe with his whole heart. And so he had this poster up there to remind himself of this. Here's what I want to believe. This is who I want to be. Well, for me, I gave this sermon because I wanted to believe with my whole heart that despite what I had been through, despite the loss and the suffering, that God was still good and that God was still for me. And I have an audio clip from 2007 Dave.
And just as Mulder did, I want to believe. So I want to believe in a God that is good, a God that has a plan for each of us, an individual plan for each of us sitting here today, a plan that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've been through, no matter how hard it's been, how tough it's been, that he has a plan for something better, a plan for something glorious for each of us.
What do you think? Younger Dave. Not bad, right? Come on, for your first sermon, that's pretty good, isn't it? All right. Don't worry, we're not done with the audio clips. We got more. To me, listening to it, I felt like a different person. It was still me, but totally, totally different. Oh. Now, what I want to do here this morning is I want to show you. Oh, here's the coaster. We have doubt in really big letters. And what's really funny, so I gave Rachel these values, but I didn't tell her what order to put them in or what to enlarge, what to make bigger than other ones. Her experience made her put doubt that large. Her experience made her put serve and faith over here. It's really interesting. When I saw this coaster, I was like, oh, these are the ones that stand out to her. And I'm sure if I were to ask you, there's probably some in here, maybe those stand out to you. Maybe that's been your experience. Maybe some of the other ones stand out as well. Maybe the thing that you desire, the thing that you want is authenticity. Being part of a community where you can just bring your whole self and you don't feel like you're going to be judged. Where you can just simply be honest with all that's in there. Now, I told you I would be going through the sermon, and I want to show you because I found this so, so interesting. When I gave this sermon, I pulled out three things that I had learned about faith in God. Those three things were nowhere in my manuscript. I have no idea how in the middle of a sermon, I wrote a sermon. I pulled out clips of the three things that I learned through my experiences. And for those who have been with me for a while, who have heard me speak now for a couple of years, let's see if you can recognize these ideas and these themes. Because as I was listening to them, I was like, oh my gosh, I speak about these ideas all the time. This is where I started pulling them out. Another audio clip for us here. The first thing that I learned through my experiences, and this is 2007, Dave of 16 years ago.
But God has brought me through a lot in those 4 years. A lot of things that he's taught me. The first thing, just the fact that you have to be real and to be honest with yourself. If you read the reviews for the newest James Bond movie, they say that this James Bond is the most real James Bond there's ever been. It says the reason why is because he bleeds when bad guys hit him, and he scars when the love of his life hurts him. And that's how we're to be. People who are honest about life, honest about our feelings, about our emotions, not suppressing things, not hiding them, not pushing them down and trying just to avoid them, but being honest and just wrestling through how we're feeling, what we're going through.
Do we recognize that theme? I feel like I talk about that all the time. Yeah, we gotta be honest with it, because for me, during that time, hiding or pretending like something didn't hurt didn't help. It wasn't helpful. Suppressing it didn't help me get through it. How do you walk through the losses that you've experienced? You be honest about them. I feel like I talk about it because that's what helped me. That's what is continuing to help me walk through my experiences, whether it was 20 years ago or even the things that hurt today. Because that's just the reality of life. Things hurt. And we're not just to keep on walking as if everything is okay. And so we need a space like this. We need a Wednesday night at Debbie's house so we can bring the pain that we carry with us. Because if you just stuff it down, it's going to continue to affect your life. We need a place where we can find healing from our pain. So I had just seen Casino Royale. Love that James Bond movie. I think it is Daniel Craig's best one. Maybe you might disagree. And I remember reading that review thinking, oh my goodness, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. He doesn't get punched. Like you see those movies or some of the older James Bond movies and he's just getting beaten up. But yet he looks totally fresh and totally clean. Well, then you have Daniel Craig, who is just a bloody mess throughout his entire run as James Bond. They wanted to portray the realness of what happens when you get into a fight with someone. That's how we are in life. Here's the second thing I learned.
The next thing I learned that I touched on was that doubt and anger are natural. It's natural that when you're going through suffering, when you're going through hard times, that you're going to doubt a good God. You're going to doubt that he has your best in mind. You're going to be angry that he allowed for that to occur.
That's really personal. That's where I was. And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, there might have been some people telling me, you can't be angry with God. Well, why not? Why can't I be? Plenty of people in the Bible have expressed their anger with God. Plenty of Psalms express doubt in who God is. So why can't I do that? What did I learn? Doubt and anger are natural. Express it. I mean, I feel like I talk about that so much because for me, that's like a foundation for my faith. When I had that experience where my best friend died, everything, I had to rework everything about faith and about God. Again, that's what you're doing here. You're a part of that here at Awaken. I learned this really, really early on. Here's the third thing that I learned. See if you recognize this one.
And the last thing I learned, it takes courage to trust God. It takes a lot of courage to have faith that what God promises will come to pass. That what God promises is true. It takes a lot to believe that. It's not an easy thing. In the latest Rocky movie, before Rocky goes into his training, one of his friends comes up to him, and he says, hey, Rocky, he says, you got guts, man. He says, you got guts for going into that ring knowing that you're going to take a beating. And that's how it is with our life with God. It takes guts for us to walk into life, to believe in God, to trust completely in God, to surrender ourselves to God, knowing that we're going to take a beating. Knowing that we're gonna get hit. We're going to be scarred. We're going to hurt. But it takes greater courage to believe that God has a plan through that, through our sufferings, that he has a plan for each of us.
Yeah, another theme I feel like I hit on, and I had just seen Rocky Balboa. All these old movies. Oh, man. Feels like just yesterday. I mean, what a surreal experience. I hadn't revisited that sermon in years, but listening to it, I was like, man, you go, Dave. 2007, Dave. All right. Look at that. And I just pulled so much of it while I was up there speaking. They didn't want me to wing it, yet essentially I kind of did wing it. See, here, the sermon came as I was paying attention to my life. My inner life, and then obviously my outer life as well. The inner life, because I had all those things about being real, being honest, courage. But then I was also paying attention to all that I was seeing around me. What are the two movies that I mentioned? There's Daniel Craig right there, taking a beating. Rocky Balboa. Here's a foundational truth that I still believe today. I believe the Spirit is always speaking. Always. In every moment, the Spirit is there speaking to us, whispering words of comfort, of challenge, of peace, of grace. The question for us is, are we listening? Are we paying attention? When I look at that sermon, I realize, wow, I had my eyes open. Because there was things that I was feeling within, but I was then connecting them with what I was seeing outside of my life with these movies. And that's what I do when I give sermons. I try to pull as many different pieces together because there's so many connections and the Spirit is speaking through every moment. The movies we watch, the music. There's a reason why certain lyrics resonate with you. Because your inner life is connecting with the inner life of that artist, of the lyrics that you're hearing. There's a reason why certain movies connect with you, because some of the themes, it's what you're going through, or it's what you've experienced. So whatever resonates with you, whatever's drawing you in, pay attention to that, because that is where the Spirit is speaking to you in your life. Now, I didn't show this clip when I was up there delivering this sermon. And I have no idea how I remembered this scene in The X-Files. When I listened to the sermon, I had totally forgotten that I gave this illustration, totally forgotten about this particular scene. This is one of the first episodes of The X-Files. And Mulder is under hypnosis. And remember, I told you that earlier in his life, Mulder had his sister abducted. And he's under hypnosis, speaking to a therapist, and the therapist starts asking him all these questions about what he had been through and about how he feels about what had happened. And here is what is buried in his subconscious.
Watch your eyes.
Try turning your head.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't know. I can't move. So I don't. I just lie there in bed.
Can you see your sister?
No. But I can hear her.
What is she saying?
She's calling out my name. Over and over again. She's crying out for help, but I can't help her. I can't move.
Are you scared?
I know I should be, but I'm not.
Do you know why?
Because of the voice.
The voice?
The voice in my head.
What's it telling you?
Not to be afraid. It's telling me that no harm will come to her, and that one day she'll return.
Do you believe the voice?
I want to believe.
Oh man, that scene gives me goosebumps. Yeah, do you believe the voice? The voice that's telling you you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You've been through a lot. It's painful. Leaves you questioning, doubting, wondering. but you're going to be safe. You believe it. I want to believe. That's my life. It's all of our lives. I think it's what we all want. We want to believe that we're going to be okay. That, yeah, we're going to suffer. We'll experience loneliness. There'll be moments that make us doubt and question God, ourselves. But there's this voice. This voice that's there telling us it's going to be okay. You're safe. 16 years later, I still want to believe in the goodness of God. I still want to believe in the healing power of the Spirit. I want to believe it's going to be okay. And that God is a God who will restore and redeem. A God who will heal all the hurt that we have been through in life. The invitation is the same for you as well. For you to believe, for you to trust that despite what you have been through, God is still for you. Despite what you have been through, God is still with you. Despite what you might think about God, what you might believe about God, God has never left your side. And God will always and forever be right next to you, bringing hope, healing, grace, and peace to your life. I want to believe. My prayer is that you will trust as well.